May 10, 1925 Different Ways to Fuse Oneself in the Divine Will. Feast of the Divinity and Reason for It. I write only out of obedience, and I am going to make a mix of past and present things. Many times in my writings I say, I was fusing myself in the Holy Divine Volition, and I don't explain further. Now, forced by obedience, I will say what happens to me in this fusion in the divine volition. As I fuse myself in it, an immense void, all of light, comes before my mind, in which one can find neither the extent of its height, nor of its depth, nor the boundaries on the right or on the left, nor those on the front or on the back. In the midst of this immensity, in a highest point, I seem to see the divinity, or the three divine persons waiting for me, but this, always mentally. And, I don't know how, a little child comes out from me. Although it is still I, maybe it's my little soul. It is moving to see this little child putting herself on the path within this immense empty space, all alone, shy, walking on tiptoe, with her eyes always fixed to the place where she sees the three divine persons, because she fears that if she lowers her gaze in that immense void, she wouldn't know at what point she would end up. All her strength is in that gaze fixed on high. In fact, in receiving in return the gaze of the supreme height, she draws strength along the way. Now, as the little one arrives before them, she plunges herself with her face into that empty space, to adore the divine majesty. But a hand from the divine persons raises the little child. And they say to her, Our daughter, the little daughter of our will, come into our arms. In hearing this, she becomes festive, and makes the three divine persons festive. And delighting in her, they await the performance of the office, which they entrusted to her. And with grace typical of a child, she says, I come to adore you, to bless you, to thank you for all. I come to bind to your throne all human wills of all generations, from the first to the last man, so that all may recognize your supreme will. May all adore it, love it, and give it life within their souls. Then she added, O Supreme Majesty, in this immense void there are all these creatures, and I want to take them all and place them in your holy will, so that all may return to the origin from which they came, your will. This is why I came into your paternal arms, to bring you all your children and brothers of mine, and bind them all with your will. And in the name of all and for everyone, I want to repair you and give you homage and glory, as if everyone had done your most holy will. But, please, I beg you, let there be no more separation between divine and human will. It is a little child who is asking you this, and I know that you can deny nothing to the little ones. But who can say all that I did and said? I would be too long. Besides, I lack the words to express what I say before the Supreme Majesty. It seems to me that here in the low world we don't use the same language as in that immense empty space. At other times, while I fuse myself in the divine will and that immense void comes before my mind, I wander around all created things, and I impress in them one I love you for the Supreme Majesty, as though wanting to fill the whole atmosphere with many I love you's single quote, in order to return the supreme love for his great love toward creatures. Even more, I go through each thought of creature, and I impress my I love you. Through each gaze, and I leave my I love you. Through each heartbeat, work and step, and I cover them with my I love you, addressing them to my God. I go down into the sea, into the depths of the ocean, and I want to fill every darting of the fish, every drop of water, with my I love you. Then, after she has worked everywhere, as though sowing her I love you, the little child presents herself before the Divine Majesty, and wanting to make for him a pleasing surprise, she says, My Creator and my Father, my Jesus and my eternal love, look at everything, and hear how all creatures say that they love you. Everywhere there is an I love you for you. Heaven and earth are filled with them. And so, now, will you not concede to your tiny little one that your will descend into the midst of creatures, make itself known, make peace with the human will, and take its just dominion, its place of honor, so that no creature may ever do her will again, but always yours. At other times, while I fuse myself in the divine volition, I want to feel sorrow for all the offenses given to my God, and I start my round again in that immense void, in order to find all the sorrow that Jesus felt for all sins. I make it my own, and I wander everywhere, in the most hidden and secret places, in public places, over all the acts of evil men, to feel sorrow for all the offenses. And for each sin, gathering within me all the sorrow for all sins, I feel like crying out in every motion of all creation, forgiveness, forgiveness. There is not one offense to God, even the slightest one, for which I do not feel sorrow and ask forgiveness. And so that all may hear my plea of forgiveness for all sins, I impress it in the rumbling of the thunder, so that sorrow for having offended my God may thunder in all hearts. Forgiveness. In the striking of lightning. Sorrowful repentance in the whistling of the wind, crying out to all, repentance, and plea of forgiveness. And in the tinkling of the bells, sorrow and forgiveness. In sum, the same in everything. Then I bring the sorrow of all to my God, and I implore forgiveness for all, saying, Great God, let your will descend upon earth, so that sin may no longer take place. The human will alone is what produces so many offenses that it seems to be flooding the earth with sins. Your will be the destroyer of all evils. Therefore, I beg you, make the little daughter of your will content, who wants nothing else but that your will be known and loved, and that it reign in all hearts. I remember that one day I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition, and I looked at the sky, as it was pouring rain. I felt great pleasure in seeing water pouring down upon the earth. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, with unspeakable love and tenderness told me, My daughter, in those drops of water that you see pouring down from heaven, there is my will. It flows rapidly together with the water. It runs to quench the thirst of the creatures, to descend into the human bowels and into their veins, to refresh them, and to become life of the creatures, bringing them my kiss and my love. It descends to water the earth, to fecundate it, and to prepare the food for my creatures. It descends for many other needs of theirs. My will wants to have life in all created things, in order to give celestial and natural life to all creatures. However, though it descends festive and full of love for all, it does not receive a fair return on the part of creatures, and it remains on an empty stomach. My daughter, your will too, fused in mine, flows in that water that pours down from heaven. Run together with me, wherever it goes. Never leave it alone, and give it the return of your love and gratitude for all. But as he was saying this, my eyes remained enchanted. I could not move them from that pouring water. My will was flowing together with it, and in that water I could see the hands of my Jesus multiplying into many, in order to bring water to all with his own hands. Who can say what I felt within me? Jesus alone can say it, he, who is the author of it. And who can say about the many ways of fusing myself in his most holy volition? For now I have said enough. If Jesus wants me to continue another time, he will give me the words and the grace to say more, and I will start again. In addition, I was saying to my Jesus, Tell me, my love, what is this void that comes before my mind when I fuse myself in your most holy will? Who is this little child coming out from me, and why does she feel an irresistible force to come to your throne and place her little acts into the divine womb, almost to make him a feast? My sweet Jesus, all goodness, told me, My daughter, the empty space is my unrequited will, placed at your disposal, which should be filled with so many acts, as many as the creatures would have done, had they all fulfilled our will. This immense void that you see, which represents our will, came out from our divinity for the benefit of all in creation, to delight everyone and everything. Therefore, as a consequence, All creatures should have filled this void with the return of their acts, and by giving their wills to their Creator. But since they did not do so, they saddened us with the most grave offense that can possibly be imagined. This is why we called you with a special mission, so that this void may be returned and filled with all that the others should have given us. And this is the reason for which we disposed you with a long chain of graces, and then asked you if you wanted to live in our will. And you answered with a yes, firm and irretractable, binding your will to our throne. And you did not want to recognize it anymore, because human will and divine will do not reconcile, and cannot live together. That yes, your will, exists, and is tightly bound to our throne. And this is why your soul, like a little child reborn in our divine volition, is drawn before the Supreme Majesty, because as you rise up toward us, your will, which is already ours, precedes you, and you feel our will attracting you like a powerful magnet. And instead of looking at your will, you interest yourself only in bringing on to our lap everything you did in our will, as the greatest homage which befits us, and as the return most pleasing to us. Your indifference to your will, as you've already lost sight of it, and our will alone living in you, make us festive. Your little acts done in our will bring us the joys of the whole creation. It seems that everything smiles at us, and that all created things make feast. And in seeing that you descend from our throne with not even the slightest attention to your will, which is as though lost within ours, and in seeing you going back to earth taking our will, is an infinite joy for us. This is why I always say to you, be attentive upon our will, because there is much to do in it. The more you do, the greater the feast you make us, and our volition will pour out in torrents, inside and outside of you.